Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Al's brother making picks again with a six-pack of wild card weekend games that we look forward to. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Can't confirm or deny that we'll circle back on a couple of confirm or denies.
Have to.
Those were fun.
Yeah,
those
it's always good. Great to fire up some confirm or deny. I think that's going to be a part of our future Wednesday at 5:30 bit. I know there was a lot of feedback from Jerry announcing his semi-retirement a couple of days ago.
And some blowback,
a lot
too.
Blowback.
Yeah,
blowback. You're right. There are a lot of people disappointed. And we want to clarify. Well, Jerry wants to clarify. He's right. Still going to be around. He's still going to be on every couple of weeks.
Soft retirement.
A soft retirement. That's right. Yeah. So what we're probably going to end up doing is kind of mix and match what kind of bits we use on Wednesdays at 5:30. Sometimes it'll be Jerry showing up. Sometimes it'll be Fergie with Confirm or Deny. Sometimes Nick Cage with Role Play Level of Concern. So we'll keep you on your toes, and we're looking forward to that into the future.
We have some options.
We got some options, and all of them are award-winning, you know,
best
radio
bits.
Hall of Fame type of bits.
Trick or Treat possibly pops in there. Never know.
That's right. Jingle Bells, Jingle Smells
yeah.
might mix
yeah.
in every once in a while around the holidays. You never know.
I love it.
So this is some breaking news over the past 20 minutes or so that the Raptors are playing tonight and Kyle Lowry will not be in the lineup. Kyle Lowry is out for personal reasons. No more details beyond that. It's not COVID, because if it were, they would tell us. It's not an injury, because he wouldn't list them as personal reasons. We just don't know anything beyond that. You know, personal reasons can take you a million different directions.
Exactly. It could be something... I've seen it before. You're on the road and something comes up, whether it be at home, whether it be with yourself, family members. It just could be. It's just something he's dealing with personally, and that's the only way to describe it. That's why it's called personal reasons.
Well, I don't know if you saw this on that Zoom the other day with Tuukka Rask, told the story of why he left the bubble, where his daughter, you know, was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. That's all he knew. So he's like, I'm leaving. That's it. Like, I've got to be, like, it was. You know, I mean, there was so much speculation because there just wasn't enough information out there. You never want to speculate because, you know, this is a very general thing, personal reasons. Again, you hope he's all right. But, you know, I think for Tuukka, at least, it showed some clarity for fans that maybe questioned him or questioned his desire and all of that type of stuff in Boston. There were some people that were really pissed off. Like, he's a very polarizing guy there in Boston. Like, he's a guy.
Yeah, which is a weird history because he's been there for so long and he's won. And, you know, he's won Vezinas. He's been
a
part of cup runs.
Player.
And exactly. And yet, you're right. So, who knows? I mean, I guess this is Lowry's story to tell if he wants to tell it. But what makes you, I guess, question the future of this is what happened with Kyrie Irving over the past 24 hours, where Kyrie Irving didn't play last night, citing personal reasons, didn't get on the flight to Memphis, will not travel with the team. So when do personal reasons expire, and when do you get back in the lineup? That's yet to be determined with Kyrie Irving, and obviously the same thing will apply with Kyle Lowry. And regardless of the reasoning, you get to a point where you tip off tonight and your leader, your heartbeat, your best player isn't available to you, and you're 1-6 and you are craving a win is not even an appropriate term. That's not even
all-time desperation here.
It's as desperate as possible. You are in the middle of the desert and you have not tasted water in days. Like,
right.
You need some water tonight. You need a win tonight. And the horse that could probably get you to the water, not playing. And it puts more pressure on Fred VanVleet, who has been playing very well anyway. But now you got to really be the man tonight. And Siakam has got to continue what he did a couple of nights ago in Phoenix. He's got to be aggressive. He's got to score. He's got to defend. Norman Powell.
They'll get this one, Hayes. This will be the one they get when all the odds are stacked. I've had late night flights where you get in at 6 in the morning. The backup goalie's playing a noon game. And it's like all of a sudden you pull one out. They'll get this one somehow.
Well, the one win they have is the one where Siakam was not playing, right? Like, that was when Siakam wasn't available to them, somehow it all gelled and they picked up a win. And we'll see tonight. I got to believe Malachi Flynn will get an opportunity to play. I think Terrence Davis, Norman Powell is going to have to bring it. This will adjust the lineup as well. They can't really go small the way they were before because of everything that Lowry brings. Even though he's a smaller guy, he plays so big. The game can be heard on TSN Radio tonight, seen on TSN tonight. Raptors at Sacramento. Here is Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. Jack, how do you digest this news? Kyle not playing tonight based on personal reasons. We don't know what those reasons are, but we know he's not going to be in the lineup tonight. They're 1-6. They're desperate for a win. And their guy, the face of the organization, won't be in the lineup. How do they respond tonight?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you heard the horn in the background. I'm standing at Scotiabank Arena right now and looking down on the ice with the Toronto Maple Leaf logo. And I'm looking up at the banners, Gilmore, Sitla, Sundin, Kennedy, Horton. I'm looking for O'Neill. I can't find it.
But, he's up there. He's there.
It's tucked in behind the Horton one.
It faces
the press box.
It's not above the urinal in section 303, maybe?
It might be in the urinal, Jack.
But, I'm actually standing out looking on the ice. It looks beautiful, and excited for another year of NHL hockey. Obviously, to answer your question, because I'm trying to be positive and upbeat here, obviously, it's a big blow not having him in the lineup tonight. I will say, as the optimist, that last year they went 12-2 without him in the lineup, and Fred VanVleet was absolutely sensational. Another big reason why he got that long-term contract extension was his play as a lead guard last year when Kyle Lowry wasn't available. So I think that's a positive, and I heard Old Dog's comment about, you know, sometimes when you have all that adversity, you find a way. And last year was a classic example of it. Now, this is a different team this year. But the one thing I'll say that maybe this could be a night that helps get Norm Powell going. Like, you know, I'd be surprised he would be inserted in the starting lineup. And I think a guy like him, he has not played well early in the season here. He didn't play well early in the season last year. And I think sometimes when you hear your name announced, even though there's no fans in the buildings, and just you know you're going to play with the better players, you know the type of opportunities and situations that come about for you are going to maybe be a little different and of a higher quality, and there's not as much pressure on you. And you have a longer leash and you're not looking over your shoulder. Maybe you settle down and play well. So I don't know whether they're going to win or lose tonight, but that might be something to get him going. Because I thought the other night Anunoby played really well. He settled in a little bit better the last few games. I look at Siakam. He was outstanding. VanVleet and Lowry have been really, really good. The issue has been Powell has not played well of the returning guys that play major minutes. Their five spot has not been good at all. And obviously their second unit has been a huge issue. So, but, you know, the silver lining might be this might be a night Norm Powell gets going.
Jack, how does Nick Nurse kind of find the balance of 1-6, nobody's real happy, of trying to make guys feel confident and kicking the pants and figuring out which guys need what and just the fine balance there? You don't want guys sick of you 7 games into the season. I mean, you are the coach. You don't really care what their thoughts are. I guess you do to some degree. But how does he just balance everything to try to get a win here on the road?
No, you're right. It's a gentle balance. And, you know, relationships do matter. And even though you're disappointed in guys, today's athlete is a little different, as you know. I mean, they're a little more sensitive and the agents are sensitive and the families, and social media has made everyone hypersensitive and thin-skinned. So, the weight of your comments and the weight of your actions, people overreact to everything now. Everything's drama. I'm not coaching. I'll just say that. In this era, I mean, you can pay me the money and then fire my ass and put me on a beach with an umbrella and a drink, but don't give me the hassles of what these coaches got to go through today. But there's no doubt that it's a gentle balancing act of challenging guys and holding them accountable and demanding that they're better and be better. And on the other side of it, also stroking them and saying, hey, man, I love you. You're great. You're valuable. You're important. And that's a fine line. But I still think they're searching for their rotation and who does what and who they can trust and who they can count on. And we, you know, so far in these early games, guys have kind of been in and out of the rotation when you start talking about second unit players. Ultimately, I think after these three more games on the West Coast, where you're on the road a little bit and it's a little more private and quiet, you're probably going to have to settle into, hey, these are the 8-9 guys we're going to roll with every night. And if the rest of you hate me, so be it. But these are the 9 guys are going to play every night. And too bad, less is more.
With Jack Armstrong, and I think that has to be the mentality at some point. But as you know, as a long-time coach, you want those 8 or 9 guys to add up to a balanced lineup. And that's my concern here, Jack, is I look at the bigs in particular. Aaron Baines has been an absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. Alex Len is what he is. You know, you don't want him as one of your 8 guys that you're rolling with. And my concern is, Nick Nurse has probably scribbled on a piece of paper a million times in the last week the 8 guys he thinks are capable of giving him the most minutes, and then the 8 guys he kind of feels like he needs to give the minutes based on balancing out lineups and based on who you're competing against. And I'd be shocked if they were aligned, because I don't think he trusts his front court right now, nor should he. They've been so bad at the 5.
That's why I always had a cooler in my locker room with ice in it after a game.
Right.
For a few that I needed after get my head kicked in. You're right. I mean, it's a problem. And there's probably not 8-9 guys right now that he truly has great trust in yet. That sooner or later he's got to come to grips with who those guys are. And more importantly, the players got to play themselves into to that scenario and earn that trust. And, you know, we saw this last year. We saw the second unit and everyone was highly suspect, and suddenly you had a Terrence Davis emerge, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson played well at spurts early in the year. Chris Boucher emerged. So it can happen, and it's going to have to happen. With regard to Aaron Baines, I've always liked Aaron Baines. I've always been a fan of him. You know, is he an elite all-star center? No, far from it. But he's a good player, and he can help contribute to winning as a, you know, fifth starter. And that's what they need him to be right now. He was a really good, for Raptor fans in particular, he was a good player in Boston for them with the Celtics. And I still think he can be that guy. And for whatever reason, I mean, he's blowing layups around the basket. He just looks completely uncomfortable, and their team is getting dominated on the glass. And, you know, those are concerns that are popping up left, right, and center that, again, I use the, it's a goofy analogy, but, it's a helpless feeling as a coach. You know, it's like you have a big flood and there's 12 holes in the dike, and unfortunately you only got 10 fingers and you don't know where to start. Plug in which holes, and at times it's been that problem for Nick Nurse. You know, you have perimeter defensive challenges in terms of the three-point shooting people are accomplishing against your team. Now, some of the shots that Phoenix made the other night were absolutely ridiculous, and if you put them in an empty gym, they wouldn't make those shots at the rate they made them. I really liked how the Raptors played the other night. They lost, but I came here tonight with an optimistic, positive feeling, because I think they got that much closer to winning the other night. They started turning the corner on a few things. Yes, a lot of things still need to be cleaned up, but nonetheless, maybe a little adversity and a little pressure tonight brings some good things out in people.
Yep, you have to hope for it tonight. And like you said, I would expect Norman Powell would start tonight. And then once you move on beyond that, you know, Terrence Davis has had his opportunities. He has not looked very good. I mean, he was one of these stories, positive storylines of the year last year, especially early on in the season. He had such a great camp and really looked like, okay, we found something here and let's see where it takes us. And we know what happened with him in the offseason, and it really makes me wonder if that's just hanging over him, and it's not going well, and it's really not worked for him. And Malachi Flynn has had limited minutes but has looked like he's forcing it a little bit. And I guess you can spin that both ways, can't you, Jack, where party is like, okay, you're forcing it, you're missing shots, you're trying to do too much. But on the other side, it's like, hey, you're a rookie and you're trying stuff. You know, I'd rather that than someone come in and be terrified.
No, I'd rather mistakes of aggression, and as long as it's coming from a good place where you're not trying to go out there and get your own at the expense of the team, you're trying to go out there and do it because you really care, and you're going to try to put your best foot forward and help your team win. And, you know, in the case of Flynn, I just think he's a young player who's out there just trying to help in any way he can. And, again, it's a tough year for a rookie to break in. I really believe this, and I'm sure, you know, you're with two guys that played at the highest level in the NHL. I think they would agree with me on this as well. You know, you're jumping on a moving train in the NBA. You're jumping on a moving train in the NHL with minimal training camp, and here come the games, and, like, what is going on? The games, the puck or the ball, whatever it may be, is flying around quicker than you can even digest what's going on. So to ask a Malachi Flynn or any of the rookies to really make a major impact every night and particularly contribute to winning at a high level is a big challenge in this season in the environment that we're all in pro sports.
Raptors in Sacramento tonight. You can see it on TSN. Watch it right here on TSN 1050. Enjoy it, Jack. Enjoy the weekend. Go Bills tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, fly it up.
We need a win. Got to have a win tomorrow, right? Are you feeling good about it or what?
I'm obviously, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, they got to stop the run. That's the whole key. You got to stop the run, and you can't let Phillip Rivers get comfortable. I mean, you got to maybe put an extra guy in the box and really challenge him to beat you deep. And I'm not sure at his age if he can do it consistently. He'll make some plays, but. And then your offense, you got to get the lead. Make them play your style. Dictate terms. So I'm excited. I'm fired up. And the good thing is there's no Raptor game tomorrow, so it's got my full attention.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, Jack.
It is go
Hello.
Time. Yep, the green light special.
I might have to have a few beverages as well.
No, let's not get crazy. Come on, Jack. Let's just relax over there.
Dog, I'm seeing a name. Johnny Bauer. I'm still not seeing O'Neill, though. I can't find it.
I told you, it's in behind the Horton one. It's facing the other way.
Well,
we share one.
I'm wearing my. I'm section 304 right now. I'm walking around the hallways now, looking. So, I'll find it eventually.
Send it to us. Yeah, we need to see it. We look forward to it. Thank you, Jack.
Guys, have a great weekend.
You too. There he is, Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. Raptors in Sacramento tonight. No Kyle Lowry for personal reasons. And Jack is going to have his motor revving tomorrow with the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Bills get the first slot, too, which probably says something about the markets. Buffalo and Indianapolis, not exactly New York and L.A. But I like that, actually. I think it's better for the Bills to get out and play. Like, don't wait until Sunday night and watch other
Just
teams
Just get after it.
Get
Just
after
go
it.
Play.
Get out there and play. You know, it's probably going to be cold, but the sun's going to be out. You're going to have people in the stands. Like, that's really going to be quite an adjustment, I guess. I mean, there's going to be about 7,000 people in the stands. Well, they haven't been there all year.
Hey, it's better than nothing, man.
Yep, it is. And, you know, old man Phillip Rivers, you just never know what you're going to get with him. Like,
yeah.
There's a good chance he wants to throw a pick late. Like, it's just, are you going to catch it?
That
are you
shot take it to put the house? Style throw.
Yep. He wants to. He wants to hand the ball over to you, but
dying to.
Will you accept it? Yep, that is the debate. All right, Al's Brothers coming up. Team Al Dog coming up because, you're riding the Al's Brother train, right? And we're going to flip a coin and go back and forth. All six games, we'll run through them. We got some more confirm or denies to get to. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Al's Brother will join us here momentarily, and we'll go around the table. Six games, three tomorrow, three Sunday. It's going to be awesome. The O-Dog just gets dragged right back into the degenerate have to have it, got to have some juice on the line watching football game type of mentality, and I like it, and I appreciate it. I embrace it.
I just know the end is near. You can't get hurt that much. I know what's at stake. I also know who my partner in this decision-making is, who you verbally assault for his performance, but... The end game, you can't get hurt that much.
At some point, everything that goes around has to come around. And before we get to that, we should point out, because, well, we got a little scratch going with this tournament too, right? The Century Tournament of Champions. Your boy Dustin Johnson, who is from a different planet. This guy's a cyborg on the course right now. He's 7-under today through 16. That puts him at 9-under on the tournament.
With a reachable par 5 at the finish.
Absolutely, it's reachable for him. And Justin Thomas, my guy, is also 9-under. He's only played 3 holes, so he's got a lot of room ahead of him.
Dude, DJ's in Tiger territory. It's like he might shoot one over on Thursday, but Friday you know it's going to be 7-under.
That's exactly what it was. He couldn't make putts yesterday. And then it was funny. I was watching on 18, and the Golf Channel was showing it, and they're like, this is a big putt for Dustin Johnson, just to feel good about yourself.
He misses it.
Yeah, of course. And it makes no difference. They even caught themselves too, right? You were watching it on the way up. They're like, now that I think about it, with him, it probably doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like, he could have picked his ball up and said, give me a 10, and he'd still be in contention by Sunday.
Yeah.
But, we have not heard that intro in a long time. It's the first time in 2021. I'm glad it survived the new year. It should survive the new year. Our boy Al's brother, who I think, you know, has been batting about 500 lately. Ever since he started, you know, stopped feeding you horrible information, he started picking up some winners, and, you know, he's going back and forth, and he's right around 500, I believe, at this point. And here he is, our main man, Al's brother. Is that an accurate assessment of your gambling habits over the last month, month and a half, batting about 500, Al's brother, or what?
Yeah, it's been about that. I went on a bit of a run, and then I would lose a couple, and then win a couple, lose a couple. You know how it goes. But batting 500. But here we are in the playoffs. Clean slate. And all you got to do is get into the dance. So
absolutely.
Let's hope we can go on a run here, O-Dog.
Okay, so how are we doing this? So you want to flip a coin? Or
the coin. Uh-oh, I just dropped it.
Okay, make sure you get
Pick it up, noodles.
I got it right here.
Are we going in order based on the time of the game? So it'll be the Bills game, then Seattle, then the Tampa game. Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah, or you can flip, and if you get the flip, you can pick the first game you want.
Okay, well, that's a different story. All right, if we're doing that, if you pick, you get to go with ever which one you want to, regardless of timing, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. We'll do that.
Okay, I'm going to just drop the coin on that. Who's going to call it? Just tell
me
who's
go ahead and call it.
I will call tails.
Okay, I'm going to drop it on the floor here. It is tails.
I don't believe it, but...
Okay. You don't believe it. What would you like me to do? I can't.
No, that's fine. I believe you of all people.
Exactly.
You're a believer in the tails. Okay, this is...
tough
week. Surprise
it's
you?
A really like tough week. Well, it did surprise me because I thought we were going based on the timing of the game. So I was looking at it thinking, I know where I want to go with the Bills, and then we'll move on from there. But if you're giving me this opportunity to kickstart the party, I think I'm going to start with the Buffalo Bills. I will take the Bills -6. They have been so good for so long. They're at home. The fans are in the stands. I don't trust Phillip Rivers. I think it could be a close game. He throws a pick six late anyway. I'm going to ride with the Buffalino Bills. I will make my first pick Buffalo -6. Over Indianapolis.
Before we move forward, I believe that we like that anyway. Do we not, Al's brother?
I mean, I am a diehard Colts fan.
Oh, God. So take your fandom out of this. Forget about the Colts.
But you know what? The Colts can definitely cover here. So, you know what? I don't mind this one. It's kind of a coin flip game anyway. It's gone back and forth. It started out as about a 6.5 point, and then it went up to 7 points, now back down to 6. So, you know, it's a really good line that's been chosen here. And realistically, if the Colts can just protect the football and run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, I think they stand a chance to at least to keep it within a touch. Down. So I'm certainly okay with having the Colts in this game.
There you go. All right, you guys are on the board now. You're on the clock.
You can go with anyone you want. You have one game to pick for Saturday.
Saturday or Sunday. We're doing whatever. Like, well, that was established.
Oh, okay.
It's
Al's brother, and
the
floor is yours.
The
you
floor
have
is
one
yours.
Game
you
to
got
pick,
five
whatever
games.
You like.
You pick whichever one you like.
Well, interestingly enough, you went with the first game of the weekend. I'm going to go with the second game of the weekend and keep her going in order anyways, because I'm big on Seattle this weekend over the Rams. They've been near unbeatable at home in the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson era. They're 7-1 at home against the spread so far this season, including a 20-9 victory against the Rams just 3 weeks ago. The defense has improved immensely over the course of the season with the additions of Dunlap and a healthy Jamal Adams. You look on the other side, Jared Goff, or Jerry Garf as we like to call him, you know, just had surgery on his broken thumb on his throwing hand, nonetheless, and that was less than 2 weeks ago. That scares me a little bit, so I think that might end up affecting the Rams the way they try and move the ball. So I like Seattle here at home -3.5 as the home faves.
That's a good pick. I like that as well. I think they're
really
think
that's
Russell
your number
Wilson.
One pick for us, Hayes. That's our number one pick. He just went out right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think that's a solid pick. So you're in with that, right? Oh, whatever Al's brothers, you know, whatever.
Yes, he's my guy. He's
okay.
my guy. He's the All team right. captain.
So I'm on the Bills to start, and then you guys take Seattle. I can take any other game on the slate. I am concerned about Cleveland with everything they've dealt with this week. And I have not loved the way Pittsburgh's played. I have not loved the way Pittsburgh's played, but I just feel like COVID on the road, you don't have your head coach. Feels like making the playoffs was an accomplishment for Cleveland. I hate continuing to roll with the favorites, especially pretty large numbers, but I'm going to do it. I will take Pittsburgh -6. I will roll with the Steelers -6 at home. That is the Sunday nighter. That is my pick numero Deuce.
Yeah.
Al's brother, how are we with that? Are we somewhat comfortable? Or are you just like
that one hurts a little bit. I would prefer to be on the other side with the Pittsburgh.
Why didn't
Steelers.
You take that one first? Why wasn't that your first pick of the like
no, my
that's
first
a shoo-in.
Seattle was my first pick, to be honest with you. It's, okay. it's
really
not it's not a shoo-in.
Cleveland doesn't have a coach and a bunch of their players are gone for COVID.
Pittsburgh lost to Cincinnati like 3 weeks ago.
That was a mail in, Al's brother. That doesn't count.
They lost to to Washington. They,
regardless,
they
what's
well
your second pick? What's your second
Who else
pick?
Do you like? All you're right. on the clock here. There's three more games to pick from. You are officially on the clock. Who do you like, Al's brother?
Yeah, it's kind of, these final three games are a bit tough, but I think I'm going to lean Baltimore -3.5 over Tennessee. I like what I've seen from them the last few weeks, and they've gotten a lot of flack that they've had a bad schedule and they've played bad defenses, and it's been easy for them. But Tennessee is a bad defense, so I kind of throw that argument out the window, to be honest with you. It's going to be a ground-and-pound game from both parties, and I just feel more confident in Baltimore's defense getting the stops more than do Tennessee. You look at the Ravens, they've only allowed 18 points per game this year. Tennessee has allowed 27 points per game, and I like the way that Lamar Jackson is cooking head going into the playoffs. A lot of momentum. Lots of momentum
like
going in.
I was
so,
looking
Baltimore.
At them as my first pick. I really was. And meanwhile, I didn't take them with my second pick either, so that is a completely meaningless, useless comment I just made.
Well, thank you for
but
a
I like
solid pick.
I like Baltimore. I think they're a lot better than people think because they had such a bad start and COVID caused their season to go upside down, but I love them coming into the year. I think this is closer to the team I thought they would be. Lamar scares me a little bit, right? He's got to prove that he can do it in Tennessee like that. You know, Derrick Henry's going to run the ball. How much time is he going to have in terms of possession? We'll see, but okay. You're taking a road favorite.
Yeah.
That's a significant little dicey pick. What do you think so far, Noodles?
I'm concerned because Al is, you know, when he starts talking fast and it sounds smooth and there's so much information, he has a giant bowl of spaghetti behind him and he's just throwing it against the wall and see what sticks. That's what concerns
he
me.
He would never
because
do
you
that
get all
to
of
a
the,
bowl of spaghetti.
No.
Very true. Very true.
That is true. But what I mean is it sounds good. Remember when he was initially taking picks, it was there were some rhymes in there, and
right.
oh, this is the dog, and I'll take a panther,
Dr.
and
Seuss.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, I.
Now he's.
I take Tennessee.
Just
like I'm a little concerned. I think O-Dog, you're in trouble just based on, you know, it's almost the kiss of death from the cooler right now.
Yeah.
But
he's a loser.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Listen, I got to be honest. I don't. These are really tough lines. Really tough. I don't feel great about my picks either. I really don't. But I'm on the clock here. I'm going to wrap this party up from my end. I think I got to go Charlie Weiss and take my boy Tommy. Tommy Brady, which I'm shocked the O-Dog didn't step in and say, before you say a word, Els, brother, we're taking Tampa with the first pick. I'm shocked he didn't overrule, but he didn't. And listen, I've been anti kind of Brady all year, anti-Bucks all year, but I can't be pro-Washington. I can't be pro-Washington. I will take the Bucks. So I think Mike Evans is a game-time decision. I think he's going to end up playing. Bucks -8. I have some monster favorites. I got a -6 in Buffalo, -6 in Pittsburgh, and I'm laying Tommy. 8 on the road with Tommy and the boys.
My team, too. Now I got to cheer against Tommy.
But I will take the Bucks at -8. I'm taking 3 favorites. I hate doing that. I don't feel good about that. That said, the 5 picks so far, we've all taken favorites.
Yeah, I love this. I love that pick for myself because I was taking Washington.
You're on Washington.
I was taking Washington with this pick. You know, Tom Brady's been great. Don't get me wrong, he's been good, but that Washington defense is going to give them fits. And if we know there's one kryptonite to Tom Brady's game, it's pressure. He doesn't deal that well under pressure, and they've got arguably one of the best front four. And it just takes 4 guys to pressure this team, which is going to leave a lot of players out there roaming the field and going to be locking up all those weapons that Tom Brady has. So I can see Alex Smith just protecting the football, work the clock. I think Tom Brady and the Bucks will win, but I think that Washington can keep it to probably within a touchdown. So
yeah,
I think
it's a
plus
big number.
Yeah,
it's a big spread to go against an 8-point spread at home is tough to do. Like I don't feel great about my picks, I'll be honest with you. But there's one game left, and this one's a monster. The Saints 9.5 at home against the Bears. That's just a giant spread. Kamara will be playing. We believe he will be playing. But he's been at home isolating all week. Al's brother, are you taking New Orleans at home at -9.5, or are you going to roll with the dogs for the first time?
This is definitely the toughest game of the weekend. I was hoping that you were going to take this one so we didn't have to pick a side here. But I think I'm going to roll with the home team once again and take the favorites. Chicago, they took them to OT the first time, right? You don't like that pick, though.
It is what it is. I would have made the same. But I just worry about what I'm going to look like Monday morning looking at this.
Here's where. So I was on the fence about this one.
Go ahead. And tell me why this is going to happen as per usual.
I like the Bears.
Health is so.
I love the Bears.
No, you don't. Don't
I do.
Even
lie. I would have rolled with Chicago all day. Oh, yeah. Big game, Mitch.
No.
Don't you worry about him.
The injuries to that defense in Chicago is going to hurt them this weekend. Roquan Smith, their stud linebacker, and their starting rookie corner, Jalen Johnson, both not likely to play. And I think that works into the favor of New Orleans, and they'll be able to score some points. And then once it comes down to it, I don't think the Bears and Mitch Trubisky is going to be able to come back once they find themselves down early. So I'm really a big fan of, well, not a big fan, but I lean New Orleans here in this game. So.
Isn't that Al's brother in a nutshell?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Well, I mean,
well,
I'm kind of
really,
a fan. Actually,
yeah,
this team sucks. I can't believe I'm picking them. That is the range of emotions from a true gambler who really has no idea what's going to happen. And I can't sit here and say that I'm, oozing with confidence either. But there you have it. Al's brother and the O-Dog, they like Seattle, Baltimore, and New Orleans. I am on Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and the Bucs. Those were the games we picked, and obviously – we're on the opposite of that based on who the other guy picked. But best of luck to the two of you. Yeah, I think it's going to go your way. I feel good about your picks. I really do.
Dude,
I like
shut
Baltimore.
Up with that. Shut up with that stupid comment because you said it for 3 months and I got rinsed every game.
Yeah.
And I know
good
that's the only
that.
Reason you're saying it.
Yeah.
I got a good feeling you guys are going to turn it around. Yeah. It can't get any worse. And then
hey,
we get
listen,
rinsed again.
Look at the leaderboard at the Century. Guess who's sitting atop the leaderboard by himself right now?
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
But your guy's going to finish 14 under par to finish the tournament.
No, he's only 1 under through 4. He's got to pick up the paces.
Trust me.
Some time. But all right, Al's brother, great stuff as always, buddy.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you. And Godspeed to yourself, O-Dog, and your picks. And
thank you.
We'll see what happens. Noodles, your final thoughts on what just transpired.
I thought, sneakily, you're gutless with your comments because you know in your mind, you're like, I just rinsed these guys.
Yeah.
And I love how you're like,
and what is he supposed to
good
think?
Luck.
Like every time
luck,
it's like
gentlemen.
A rinsing. You just watched him abuse Al's brother about the worst picks he's ever seen
for
a duration. And then he just made 6 picks right there. And
I like those
it's
picks.
Almost like some, it's like subliminal messages. You're like, Chicago's had a tough go. All right, I'm going. And then you're like, oh, I love Trubisky.
I do. I like big game, Mitch. I like the Bears. I kind of like them in that. It nine just, and a half, that screams backdoor cover, just a gutless backdoor cover.
And you know that, like, you know you feel very good, but you're like, Godspeed. Good luck to you, gentlemen. Yep. All the best to you.
That's
and
right.
It's a fake handshake. It's a fake. Well, it's
a virtual handshake. Exactly. All the best to Al's brother, you know, Doug. Godspeed to the two of you.
Yeah,
I can't confirm or deny that we have a few more that we'll get to before we wrap this party up. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. And back into the Raptors game tonight in Sacramento without Kyle Lowry. He is not playing tonight for personal reasons. And, man, they had pressure on them anyways. Now their lineup is depleted. We'll see what they have in store. We'll get to that coming up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN2. All right, thanks again to Al's brother for stepping in and making his picks and doing his thing. You know, we'll see where it goes. All right, we're back at it, leading into the playoffs, and we're tracking a big golf tournament down in Hawaii. Dustin Johnson is putting on a clinic. He, I believe, is through his round, and what did he shoot, 8-under today? 8-under today, and that puts him 10-under on the tournament. Actually, I think he's still out there on 18. But, hey, there's Justin Thomas, 2-under through 5. He's at 10-under as well, so we'll see what happens.
I told you he's coming in at 13 or 14-under. Min.
He might, yeah. It seems like the course is very playable today. What do they call that, scoring conditions, I believe?
I know, but it's still, like, nobody else is doing that. It's like these two guys are on top of the game right now. They're just so dominant. It's Tiger golf, man. They're just you think it's funny that you shot 6-under day one? You're going to be plus 3 tomorrow, and I'm going to be 8-under, and I'm going to just dominate. So watch out.
That's right.
They're that much better than everyone.
They really are. And even Jon Rahm, who's got an equipment change, he flipped over
how much did Callaway – like, this guy, if I'm his agent, the money that Callaway could have offered him, maybe we got to get Weeksy on and ask him, it would have had to have been astronomical for me to change equipment. Top 5 golfer in the world. I'm dialed in. I'm there every week. And you go to Callaway?
I'm not just saying that because I love Taylor.
How much could it possibly be? How much?
Well, $100 million deal.
Yeah,
$10 million a year for 10 years.
It
something like that.
Shock me, something like that, because Callaway's been owned by Mickelson forever. Like, that's been Phil's line forever. And Mickelson and Rahm are really close, right? Like, I think, isn't Mickelson's brother Rahm's agent or something like that? So I'll bet you there was some backdoor dealings like, hey, we got to get you over here. And the thing is, when you're with TaylorMade, Tigers with TaylorMade, McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, like, you're never going to be the top billing guy there. You're just not.
What are you looking for? What, if an ad for a driver comes out, you want to be the main guy in the ad?
Probably. I mean, with ego, you're never going to be if Tiger Woods is with TaylorMade and Dustin Johnson.
The guy, I'm not just saying this because I use TaylorMade golf clubs, and I always have, and I love it. This guy, if it's... The risk is, because I know another tour pro that switched to another company, and he couldn't make a cut for 2 years. And it's like, is it really worth it?
Yeah, it's a gamble.
Well, you would think a guy's that good that they would just get the club dialed in, the specs dialed in, and they'd just go and hit it, which some amateurs can do. But sometimes that's not the case. And he hit some weird shots yesterday, and it was like, what?
Well,
I hope it works out for him.
But would you not have an out if you get to a point where, hey, I don't like that, I don't like the way I'm playing? There's got to be an out of that contract.
Well, it's one of those he made
$100 million. You're talking, you get your ass back in the lab. Yeah.
I'm making numbers up. I have no idea.
Oh, but it's that kind of change we're talking about, because he's going to be wearing Callaway gear. I think it's Travis Matthew who's actually connected with, which might be connected with Callaway.
Dude, and I think it's just gear and hat.
But he's wearing he's using the Callaway clubs
Callaway bag,
and so it's just going to be Callaway everywhere, you know, and that comes with a price tag. But, like, listen, Jon Rahm's 8-under for the tournament. He's in it. He's shooting 5-under today.
I only caught him yesterday when he was slapping it around.
He was a little bit, but he's playing well today, and he's another guy. Like, him, Johnson, and Thomas have been the three consistent best players in the world for about a year and a half.
Yes.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline here. This is tough because I'm playing the NFL point spread. And the numbers are a little bit different, right? The spreads in Vegas compared to what you get with OLG is a little bit different. So I'm going to ride with you guys in Seattle. It's laying 4. I like Seattle at home against the Rams. Yeah, I like that pick. I'm also going to ride with the Bears. You're getting 10.5 on Proline. That's a quality number. And I'm going to lay Pittsburgh as well. I'll lay the 7 on Proline. against Cleveland. You can throw down 20. You can score 100. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So when we get back here on Monday, three teams will be through in the NFL, and wild card weekend will officially be behind us. Maybe the Blue Jays have decided to find a pulse and make a move over the weekend. Maybe. We'll see. The Raptors, they'll have played Friday, Sunday, and then they play Monday night, I believe, in Portland. And as of Monday, we're into the official opening of the NHL season. So Monday is going to be a fun show. And next week, there's going to be a ton of content. It's going to be awesome. Earlier this afternoon, we got to some confirm or deny. And we ran off like 10 or 12 confirms or denies, and we still have a few more. So I figured, why not wrap it up? The final week without NHL hockey, we might as well wrap it out with a few more confirm or denies. Are you guys ready for this?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. Confirm or deny, Tyson Berry will reestablish his value and get a long-term contract next summer.
I'll confirm that, because guess what he's going to be running, and that's the power play. And you just shovel a bunch of passes over to McDavid and Draisaitl, guess what happens? Magic, and you end up on the score sheet. Who knows where it is, but I'm going to confirm that, just because he's going to be on the power play. No Klefbom with injury. He's going to be the guy going out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was asking earlier just about, you know, how we define, you know, best defenseman and all that, because I think he is going to get a whack of points just by osmosis.
It's not
right?
By black. Like, you don't become the best defenseman simply by points.
Listen, believe me, you see the people who vote. They look at the stat sheet. You know, Erik Karlsson gets 80 points. He doesn't get it, but it's Brent Burns' turn this year. A lot of times people do just go off points. It's not the right thing, and I agree, but I'm just saying, like, that's why I asked earlier. I think Tyson Berry is going to get a bunch of points just playing on that power play alone. Like, that's, if he's the point guy, you just pass it over to Draisaitl or McDavid. You may get a bunch of second of assists. Like, that's, I think he will.
I'm sure he will. If he's on that top power play unit, he's going to absolutely pick up points. But I'm going to deny it, because it's kind of a two-point statement. Like, reestablishes his value. He might get that, but that doesn't guarantee a long-term deal next year, because he's a year older and the cap is likely still flat.
Yeah, you're right.
Good so point. I'm going to deny it, because I think he's got to give you more too for a long-term deal than just, hey, he was good on PP1. Mm-hmm. You know, right. Especially with Klefbom out and a bit in a thin defense core to begin with, or relatively thin. He's going to have to really bring it. Like, he's going to have to perform. And 5-on-5, he's got to play a lot better.
And Ethan Bear's a really good player. There's a chance that he might slide in there on that power play, too.
Right. He might steal some of those minutes. Yep. Okay, moving on. Confirm or deny. The Ottawa Senators will finish within 7 points of a playoff spot this season.
I'm confirming it.
I'm going to confirm it, too.
I think these teams are all going to be jammed up together. Like, they're going to get points off of each other, and, you know, maybe there's a team or two that runs away with it. Everyone else is going to be bunched. I'm confirming it. I think it's going to be closer than you think.
Yeah, I'm looking at this as a team that I absolutely believe got better. I can't wait to see Stutzel play. I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. But they are in a division that is not as top-heavy. Like, they don't have to play Boston and Tampa as much, but they also don't get to play Detroit. They don't get to play Buffalo. And they missed by a mile last year, as we know. A mile. I'm gonna deny it, because I do think they're going to miss the playoffs, and I could see them missing by 10 points. You know,
biggest
that fourth
factor for them
team.
Is their young centerman. Much like Kotkaniemi and Suzuki in Montreal, can a couple of their young centermen take the next step and play like veterans this year?
Well, Colin White is back on the top line last time I checked, and I don't see him anywhere close to a first-line center.
That's the biggest question mark they have. Can some of their young centermen take a next step?
So, well, yeah, I mean, they got this kid that was MVP in the minors last year, that Josh Norris. He's going to get an opportunity. Derek Stepan's probably going to play a lot of minutes up the middle, right? Like, you make a good point. 10 points wouldn't be an awful season based on where they were last year. It's a big step, right?
Yeah, it would be. So, I mean, I don't know how it adds up with the math about 56 games as opposed to whatever, but, yeah, I mean, they only played 71 or whatever it was last year. But, okay, moving on. Final one here. This is more kind of, well, it features two players on both sides of the border. Confirm or deny, Joe Thornton and Zdeno Chara both play more than one more season in the NHL.
Both?
Both. Both Jumbo and Big Z.
Denying it. Yeah.
That's why I don't understand about Chara. You could probably throw Thornton in there. It's like if you got to go that one other place for one last year, it's like.
That's why I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I'm going to deny it, or I'm going to confirm it. I think they're both going to keep playing. I think they're just hockey freaks. They're like Jagr. Like they just right. They love playing. They want to play. Tom Brady. It's a different, weird era. You hit 40 yeah. And you're like, I can play Tom 45. I'm going to prove it.
I want to
get
in
the gym.
You talk me into it. I'm going to confirm it.
Okay.
I'm denying it still, and I want to get into it on Monday because this year for Joe Thornton, if it goes well, great. He continues on. If it doesn't go well in this market, is his legacy tarnished? A little bit like Mike Babcock's was.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting tease for Monday at 4 o'clock.
Let's get into on Monday. Yeah.
Okay, we will. Basketball game tonight right here on TSN Radio. You can see it on TSN. All the football games this weekend on TSN, TSN Radio. This is where you want to be. It's going to be a great weekend. Enjoy that. We are out of here. We are back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.